G'day teachers, welcome back to Tech It Up A Notch. I'm Rach, your curriculum guide, here to help you connect tech to powerful learning.
And I'm Claire, your tech guru, ready to demystify the digital world for your classroom. We are so excited to empower you to bring innovative tools to your teaching practice.
Tech It Up A Notch.
So how you going, Rach?
Yeah, pretty good. It's a beautiful day on Darug country today. Beautiful blue skies. So good day for recording podcasts.
It is. I'm very excited. We got to see each other at WorkWise the other week, which was very exciting.
Big highlight.
Yes, and actually I used Google Vids. My class went on an excursion the other week and I made a vids because all the teachers put all of the videos into Google Drive folder and it was very easy for me to quickly put together a little recap. And the students got to watch it, shared it with the parents, winning. And then I got the students to watch it and make a little reflection of the day, making a collage on Seesaw. So
perfect.
Great use of it in the classroom. So it was very exciting.
Well done.
So, Rach, what are we going to be talking about for episode two?
Well, shall we start with our listener question?
Yes.
I am in my final year of study at university. I am currently completing a STEM subject, but I'm having difficulty coming up with an activity for an assessment for a 9-year-old child who has interest in video games, football and soccer. Something that uses hands-on resources would be preferred. Thanks.
So, Rach, what comes to mind for you when you heard that problem?
Well, actually, the first thing that came to my mind, I jumped straight into thinking about the syllabus and I wondered if this was really a true STEM project because I think the term STEM gets thrown around for all sorts of things. And my first thinking was, well, how do we make this a really true STEM activity? And is that actually what this listener is looking for? Wasn't sure.
But so, well, should we tell everyone what is STEM if you've heard of the word, but what does it actually stand for?
Science, technology, engineering and maths. But I think that's a very simplistic look at it because when you come back to the syllabus, what it asks for is bigger design thinking process.
Yeah, so it's like coming up with an idea for a project and using those four strands, I guess, to solve a problem and
to solve
make
a problem in the world.
All right. So
I did wonder though, then I'm thinking video games, football and soccer, we're not really pushing into that design thinking in that way in this particular question. But I was like, well, what's something that is a digital technology tool that might spark some interest for this learner?
It's one of my favourites, I'm thinking.
Yes. And I think we're probably thinking the same thing because we've already talked about it.
It's the
Makey Makey.
Claire, tell us all about what a Makey Makey is.
Well, the Makey Makey, I love it. It's something that can turn everyday objects using foil, Play-Doh or cardboard into buttons, and you could use it as a little game that you can use it. It basically acts as an external keyboard for your computer, and you can plug into it anything that can conduct electricity to get it to work. Straight away with this problem, I was thinking getting the student, if they're really interested in games, they could create their own video game with Scratch and make a little game controller for it using the Makey Makey. It's such a brilliant tool. It's been around for a while now, and it was invented by these two guys that were studying at MIT in America, and they wanted to create something where everyone could become an inventor. So I don't know if you're familiar with Arduino boards or Raspberry Pi, but this is a much more simplified version of that. And how it works is it's got like a little...
like a circuit board.
Yeah. And you plug the... To give it power, it uses the USB port on your computer, and then you plug into it alligator clips, and it basically acts as the functions for up, down, left, right, space bar and click functions on your computer. And then on the other end of those alligator clips, link it to things that conduct electricity, which is an awesome lesson in itself. And so things like Play-Doh, foil. I love using fruits and vegetables and...
I never use those.
I always mess.
But I, you know, for a really easy one that's, you know, you don't have to worry too much about getting resources together, they can just use a lead pencil.
Yes, because that's another whole discussion in itself as well about all the things that can conduct electricity. But then the key, was students also have to have a seventh alligator clip into the part that's called earth. And if their fingers are touching that metal part of the alligator clip, they then complete the circuit, and using their other hand, they can control the makey-makey.
Press the buttons.
By pressing all of the things that link to those functions on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And a great way to introduce it with students is, like, I like to go all out. Surprise, surprise. I find bananas no go because they're so squishy after a while and kids getting excited and pressing. But I found zucchinis are good because they're hard, but then they've still got enough moisture.
Yep.
Because I find I've tried things like apples and carrots and they're a bit too hard sometimes and they're a bit hit and miss. So zucchinis work quite well. Zucchinis, even cucumbers as well. And I do get a banana, and but it can't be too hard either because then it doesn't work.
Thanks, though. Now we're going off topic. Yeah, sorry, listeners. But I often use Play-Doh with making
makeys. Yes, definitely always use Play-Doh.
And I find it easy because I can put it in a Ziploc bag. I send it out, you know, simple. But then the Play-Doh gets stuck in the alligator kit.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that.
And if you're not careful, it goes a bit moldy.
It's a bit gross, yes. But the Play-Doh's good. But in the makey-makey kit, it's like a box and you have the board and you have the seven alligator clips. But they also have these little wires, little white ones with the metal sticking out on each end. And I encourage anything that's liquid or Play-Doh-y, that's sticky, always use one alligator clip touches the end of the wire and the other one plugs it in. Yes, because I found you'd come back at the end of the lesson and they're all crusty from being stuck in.
Yes.
I love using it too with water because you put the little wires into the water and then you can use your finger.
Never even thought of that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Gosh, we've worked water piano. So long.
Yeah, so
you could have like two levels. You know, you could do a spoon on the water, like ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I wonder if that would close the circuit if you put the alligator clip on the spoon.
Probably would because of the metal. Oh, look at us getting off to getting all sciencey. But anyway, I feel like I went straight into something and didn't really explain it.
That was my fault. Sorry, Claire.
That's all right. But so sort of circling back, you were saying how it was, how it was invented. And now it's just become this incredible, huge tool that is available for many schools. And you can buy them on their own because I know after I've done a lesson with them, kids like dying to buy their own version of it. They're about $70 to $100 each. You can just order them online.
You can Google it and you will find them. And most of our listeners will probably be looking at class sets. And then you'll be going to your educational technology suppliers and getting a bit of a better deal for a class set.
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of using them, it's definitely lends to the science unit of work on circuits. But my personal use with makey-makeys, which has been quite a lot, I reached out because when I was teaching creative arts many years ago and also had just freshly become the learning technologies teacher, I reached out to our wonderful dear colleague who's a mentor to us, Lisa, and I asked her for advice. What can I use? I want to learn how to use STEM products a bit better and understand them more myself, but how can I integrate them into creative arts? And she suggested the makey-makey, and it changed my life, honestly. And so how we started was a little intro to it. So I madly set up with my wonderful sport RFF buddy. She came and helped me set up in the morning, and I'd set up every Chromebook with a makey-makey attached and link a cut up banana.
Set it all up for them.
Yeah, set it up for them. Claire. A bit of a blob of Play-Doh, a bit of foil.
Mm-hmm.
And on a piece of paper, and we talked about it and talked about what it can do. They opened up the plug and play apps because there's a website for Makey Makey with all of these plug and play apps.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite starting point is the piano one because you can easily see what is working and what isn't if all the keys play. And then I let them just have a play with it. And then we have a great lesson about what conducts electricity, why does it work, and why does the earth need to be held in order to do it.
Yep.
And one of my favorite things to make them just go, wow, is when you do like that human chain where you talk about.
I've done that too.
Yeah, so like someone's holding earth and then you hold the hand of the person next to you and then they use their hand and like the energy transfers through them and they're like, brains exploding. And then I'm like, all right, let's get more people out and let's see how, and we get the whole class in a circle. It's the best thing ever. And I remember Lisa came to watch my lesson and she saw that and she was like, ah. But then after we sort of have a play, the next lesson I like to say, okay, now you've had a go, now you've got to plug it in yourself. And I must say, I have tried this with year one and two. I would not attempt to let them plug it in themselves because it got a bit confusing for them. And the science was a little bit too beyond them, I felt.
Mm-hmm.
But year three and up, perfect.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think if you were working with a small group or a really interested little person who was in your K1, 2s, no worries. Yeah. But if you're doing it with a class, you want them to be in stage two.
Yeah, for sure. And so what I did was, yeah, first lesson, explore. Second lesson, plug it in yourself, try and reconnect it again, but I took away the fruits this time. Then we talked about the lead pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And then the challenge was for that day make a game controller. So you had to make using foil, Play-Doh, lead pencil, mm-hmm. create a game controller, connect it to the Makey Makey. And then if you could do that and it worked, you could play HTML5 Mario old school with it.
Oh,
and,
well, that's cool.
And it was a very good carrot and incentive too. Yeah.
I will say I've added in when I've taught with Makey Makeys a whole lesson on, well, what is conductive and what can we find that
yes,
is conductive.
Yes.
So if you've got the time in your program or if it suits the outcome that you're trying to meet, that's always a bit of fun too. Put in some dummy stuff in there that doesn't work, or they can just go around to a playground and pick up a stick or whatever it is.
What does and doesn't work. Yeah. So, and then from there, because the beauty of the Makey Makey is that it can link to coding and introduction to coding, and you can use Scratch and it has the block code blocks that link to the Makey Makey. So you can create something on Scratch and play it using the Makey Makey, which is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So to sort of detour after that, I've used the good old hourofcode.org website and the dance party coding lesson that introduces children who've never used block coding before in a simple, very easy to follow game-like way how to use block coding to make a little dance party. And it's really fun. And then after that, the next lesson, I like to introduce them to Scratch and try and make something or using one of those tutorials. And this is something basic.
Yep.
And then from there, introduce the project to them. And I've done things with creative arts where they had to make something with a musical instrument through Scratch, and you can record. I had some students that were in the rock band with me. They literally recorded the different chords on a guitar into Scratch, kept them as sounds, and then when they played the Makey Makey, it was like dun, 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 dun,
of
dun,
what dun, they had recorded.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Very cool. So they played through it. Another one was a piano board, but they use their feet to play the piano with it. A dance board, so you can do like a dance party game, and then with the little ones, I got them to make an artwork, and then I helped them connect it to the Makey Makey and put foil on their artwork, and then they played the piano on their art. So it was cute.
I think I've done something similar. One year I did a Christmas card. They did like an interactive Christmas card so that when it opened, they programmed it to go like, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So from there, like, it doesn't have to be a creative arts project. Like, I've also done it with integrating with the Earth and Science Space Unit with Stage 3 last year, where the students were making a diorama anyway of the solar system. I came in for a couple of days and got them to connect their diorama they'd already made to the Makey Makey, because you can program your sprite through Scratch to record a voice that you'll type in what you want it to say, and it spoke about facts about each planet of the solar system, which was really cool. And it was integrating all their research they'd already done and putting it all together in a fun, cool project.
Yep.
So, yeah, which was great for all the classes to come in and have a look at. But I know you've done some cool stuff with it too.
Oh, well, I did something very similar, really. We did it linking in with geography in this particular class. And a shout out to the teachers in this class, because I came in and was like, here's this thing. Introduced it to the kids and then
see ya.
And they picked it up and ran with it. They did such a wonderful job. But it was a geography unit. And so they had all these giant big maps and then connected in their integrated parts.
Yeah, and talked
it's
about
it. It's just much the same as what you did with the solar system, but the geography.
But you can do it for so many things and as a way to showcase the learning
that
they've already done in their writing and their research and a fun way to integrate
like interactive the STEM element.
Yeah, cool. Hmm. And another tip I'd say is I like to create a Google Classroom page for when I'm doing this, because there's so many links you want them to go on. I want them to go on the Makey Makey apps website. I want them to go on the Hour of Code website. I want them to watch this really, really cool video for introducing. It's called Makey Makey an Invention Kit for Everyone. It's the guys that created it, and it's just them showing all. It's a fun, you know, that one goes, Makey Makey. And it's such a cool way for them to just get a snapshot of, wow, what is this thing? And then they get ideas later on. And but like links to those YouTube clips and anything else. And then when you create your assignment on there, they can submit it on there
or whichever classroom kind of management thing you're using.
To make it easier for yourself, I found that's a great way to set it all up for success. Yeah.
Very good.
Cool. All right. So pros and cons, Rach.
Pros and cons. I was thinking about these last night, and I don't actually think that there are any cons, depending on your circumstances. Yeah. I think cost-wise, they're a real benefit.
Yes.
Because they're super cheap compared to some other robotics things.
Mm-hmm.
And bonus, they're really quite little, so they don't take up a lot of room
in your cupboard
or your storeroom or whatnot, which, you know, at some schools, mine included, is a big problem.
Mm.
So, yeah. Cheap, easy to store, very engaging and fun, low floor and high ceiling, so they're really easy to get working quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of glitches. I've never really had a glitch with a major.
The only thing, and it's funny because I kind of love it, when it doesn't work, it's because there's something missing. And it's off, and it's up to the kids like to figure out
to
what am I doing wrong? Why isn't this working?
Yep.
And often they've forgotten to hold the earth cord. That happened to us the other day.
Always user error.
Or like they haven't plug the alligator clip enough onto like a wire that so it will connect.
Or the conductive material is not sturdy enough.
Yes. Or the apple is too hard and there's not enough. But then that's learning in itself. And my favourite part, it encourages creativity, which is my favourite thing, as I've said before.
Yep.
I love how you can combine art and science. And it really lends to STEAM as well as more than just STEM. And STEAM is when you add art into it as well. So hands-on projects.
I was just
so
thinking
fun.
Hands-on because you do need your screen as well, but you're not solely on a screen, which is nice.
Yes.
You can sort of see the learning a bit better. Very good for collaboration.
Yes, group work always. Yes.
You know, some tools lend themselves to one learner more than another. This is nice for a group.
The design hasn't changed. I have seen minis with only a couple
of... Yeah, the Makey Go.
Yes, yes. But honestly, it hasn't changed since I think it came out.
Mm.
And I've been using them, gosh, I think like 7 years,
Reckon at least.
Yeah. They're not going to need to be updated is what I'm saying, because it isn't reliant on a program or software.
Yes, that's such a good positive to think about.
And I love how it integrates beautifully with Scratch and other coding platforms and just works like your keyboard, so you can have a lot of fun with it, which is cool. Cons, look, the only thing I think would be you do need a computer with a USB port.
Yeah,
so,
which not everyone has.
No. And so like if you're a school that only has iPads, for instance, that's going to be a problem, or even possibly just like MacBooks or other sort of without a USB port, you need the dongle.
Yeah.
But Chromebooks, beautiful with it.
Mm.
Absolutely beautiful with
it.
Yes. And there's only six.
Well, not if you flip it over.
Yes, you can use the wires and there's you can go
on the
that
other
next
side.
Step.
Yeah,
true.
Which I must admit, I've not really, I think maybe one project that I did with kids
went
that far.
Probably with secondary, you'd really go there.
Yeah.
So I have seen kids, because they wanted to use other buttons and you can plug the little white wires into the back.
Yeah,
the letters.
So on one side, when you look at the circuit board, it's quite simple and it's really obvious. Right key, left key, up, down. And when you flip it over, then there's a whole lot of other keys you can connect to. So,
Cool.
Yeah, useful.
The alligator clips, we were talking about that before.
Yeah,
look,
you can also just buy new ones if they really went gross.
You know what? That's what I did, because when we would borrow them and I would have them for a term, and yes, I'd feel awful. I would go to JCar, I think, and you could buy a packet of replacement alligator clips fairly cheap, and I would just replace all the ones. Or they do, after a while, kids get excited and the wires snap
a little bit,
things like that. And yes, they do get very crusty if you haven't cleaned off the Play-Doh. But that's why I say don't put the alligator clip right into the Play-Doh or the fruit, because that's what's going to happen. But I know our friend and colleague, they would put it in, I think, was it, what's that?
Foil?
No. They would sit it in, I've got bicarb soda maybe, or something like that,
like to clean
it.
Them all.
Yes.
Oh, but you wouldn't want to make them go rusty, either.
No, I forget what she used. She told me. We'll have to ask her.
Yeah.
But whatever she was, she'd stick them in that overnight and to get the rust or the, because they go rusty if they've been stuck in Play-Doh too long. Yeah.
You, go, you know what I've done before too is just waited a few days and then get some kind helpful person to just clean them all out when it's got to be dry.
Yeah. Or they're like, Miss Melvin, this one looks crusty. Like, yes. I do find I guess a con would be if you're not confident with this, it is intimidating. I just find I've used it in staff meetings with teachers to introduce it as an idea for them and have it all set up with the fruit and have a bit of fun. And a lot of people see it and they love it, but then they're like, God, this is too hard. I wouldn't bother.
Yeah.
Or they're like, how is this learning when I'm just getting them to play Mario and make a game controller? I'm like, oh, you're not getting the bigger picture, guys.
Well,
like,
we get to that soon when we talk about curriculum.
But you know what I mean? I think if you're not confident or have someone that's willing to jump in like us would be in a school
And get it started.
To get have a go and give it a try. They probably would sit in the too hard basket. I do worry.
But along with all things.
Yes, true.
So
if you're not willing to give it a go. But that's what we're here for, guys.
All right. So shall we think about how that then links to curriculum?
Should we say also, but it's not exactly a robotics system. It's more of an interface tool. You're not necessarily programming it itself, if that makes sense. You need to use Scratch.
Well, and I think this is when I've taught a full term with Makey Makeys, I often begin with what is an input device and an output device and how do peripheral devices work as part of a, you know, computer system. And it's just another input device. What it is, like you would have a mouse or a keyboard or a printer or a printer's output, but you know, how you have other things that plug in. It's just, you know, you're building something new to plug into that computer.
So. Yeah. All right, my curriculum guru, take it away. How can we link this to curriculum?
Oh, well, STEM. So we're coming back to that discussion from earlier on, thinking about the initial question, which was quite general in a way. STEM is such an important part of our curriculum, but sometimes I think in the current climate, a little bit overlooked. And I think if you go right back, now I hope I get this right, but the Alice Springs or Mbonte, I think, Education Declaration from 2019, our country has decided that STEM learning is important to us.
Yeah.
And then that filters through into our curriculum documents. And where you see it is in design thinking.
Yes.
And so whether it be the Australian curriculum, New South Wales curriculum, or, you know, any of the other state curriculums that might be existing out there, design thinking is a core concept. And they have different models, but it's pretty much understanding a problem, coming up with some solutions, and ideate is the word that often is used in that process.
Love that.
So a great vocab word for your kids to ideate, come up with new ideas, build a model, you test it, you change it, you reflect on it.
And my favourite thing, trial and error.
Absolutely.
And that's how we learn, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And so the purpose of design in those digital systems is to solve problems and contribute to a better world for people.
I love that.
I really love that too.
The syllabus, isn't
it? Straight from the syllabus. That's from New South Wales 2024 science syllabus.
Love it. Which should be implemented, I think, from next
27. Yeah. So about people will certainly be beginning next year.
Yeah.
And still thinking about that New South Wales curriculum, it encourages the use of cross-curricular STEM learning.
Yeah. Yes.
And in the current climate where everything is about explicit teaching, people might wonder how this can be done.
Yes, I know. It's definitely coming up a lot in our staff professional learning at my school at the moment.
Yeah, very topical. And I think of a wonderful man that we both know who is just such an inspiration in the education space. And he said to us not long ago, it's not explicit teaching, but it's explicit teaching strategies.
Yes.
And that is how you can advocate for STEM learning in your schools.
Yes.
Because the syllabus, if you go back and read, supports cross-curriculum learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be siloed because the timetable is, you know, 50 minutes of this and two hours
of course.
That.
Yeah. And like, so as a way of like sort of jumping in and back to where we were, saying that you, if you do have an RFS specialist role, they're looking for ways to do what I did and use it in creative arts. And then you're covering that. Or like we've done with schools where, and at the moment I'm going to do in my history unit, we're going to integrate a STEM tool to help share their research and their knowledge in a cool way, but integrating that STEM as well.
Yeah, because we don't have time to be doing all these things standalone. And doing a cross-curriculum approach really helps to strengthen, if it's geography, well, you're strengthening your geography understanding while you're strengthening your digital technologies understanding.
And, and it's breaking that mindset, guys, with, I know, like, I've worked with people that they love the idea of it, but they think, oh, is it taking away from the learning? I'm like, no, it's not. You don't understand, like, how rich. Yes, it's fiddly and yes, it takes time, but what you get out of it is so, it's all about that process, isn't
it? That's right. Yeah. And the explicit teaching is still there.
Yes,
you're explicitly teaching
how to use
a new device, a peripheral device.
And the science behind it.
And the science behind it. You're explicitly teaching the thinking strategies that go in around debugging when there's a problem.
Yeah.
You're explicitly teaching technological skills. explicitly teaching the steps in the design process mm-hmm. so they understand how designers come up or engineers
inventors,
mm-hmm. how they come up with their ideas. And that's where your explicit teaching comes in. And then the students are able to use all of those skills that they've been taught to create something new.
Oh, I love that so much. It's just like us in a nutshell. Awesome.
Oh, so then specifically, if you were teaching this as a standalone, you're going to be in the science curriculum.
Definitely.
For the Australian curriculum, your digital technologies, from stage one, they start looking at input and output devices. That's the same for New South Wales. So possibly some of your older learners there, but definitely by stage two, you'd want to be using that. Now, something I learned when I was looking at the different curriculum documents, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but circuits went from stage three to stage two.
I think it has, yes.
And then it's gone back.
Yes.
The new curriculum's going back. So,
and it's perfect for circuits.
It's so perfect for circuits.
Amazing.
So it might be that when you're thinking of your scope and sequence, you might save, because I do tend to save a little, like you might do, you know, Sparrows in stage two and then Makey Makey's in stage three because it suits the stage three curriculum.
Yeah. Definitely. But I find more success with the older kids. Mm. And I found when I did it with creative arts, I found the students weren't really up to creating something themselves in Scratch. They spent the whole time making their pianos or making their dance boards, and all they had time for by the end of the term was to plug it in and use a pre-made, you know, like on the Scratch library that people share their projects. And that's great, but I couldn't assess them that they had coded or anything themselves. Whereas stage three kids, they were ready for that challenge.
Yeah, you know what's just popped into my head, Claire, is I think I read somewhere that some of our colleagues aren't allowed to use Scratch.
Yes, actually, very good point. I always get kids to sign up because they kind of have to.
Mm.
If you want them to create a Scratch project, you want to save it because hours of work in there.
Yes.
And so you have to log and create an account.
And it's very clear that you have to do it with a made-up name
and all of that sort of stuff. But sadly, there is a whole chat kind of system in there because kids, like anyone can share projects on there, but then there is a way that they can communicate with people on there, which is not quite safe. So that's where it's hard. So a lot of people have stopped using it. But I guess it does come down to using it only at school, because if they're in the classroom only for that hour, you can monitor their use, making sure it's visible. And going back into your responsible use of technology agreement putting the onus on the children that, I'm not going to do anything that's irresponsible. Mm. I do encourage them to explore the ones that are there because you can look inside people's projects, because sometimes I can't help them when they're like, I really want to get my thing to do this. And I'm like, I don't know how. So
yeah, we have to learn together.
Yeah. And that's right. So it's good that it's there. But I know we've just, be mindful of that. I haven't had any problems with it myself.
No, I haven't.
I think it was only kids if they were going on at home and then they found all those things.
Mm-hmm.
At school, I don't think you'd be able to do it. But so I guess for differentiation, how would you say it would work for different leveled learners for this? I think you definitely could. Well, I think I've kind of answered that.
I think you do too. And I think you just have to scaffold it a little bit more for someone who needed help. You know, you might say explicitly model how to use it.
Yes.
Because it's not perhaps the sort of thing I would just say play. I don't think it lends itself to play from the beginning.
No, that's why I would start it off, give them a bit of success by setting it up for them, but talking more about how it works and the science behind it first, and then having a play with the pre-made apps. And then, like I said, I tried very disastrously to let them plug it in. So I learnt pretty quickly, only from about stage two and up, can plug it in themselves and have a go. But I did have to sit with a lot of groups, or I found after a while I took a photo of mine that I had up the front,
put it
up on the old classroom screen, and they could go up and check, okay, what am I missing? Have I plugged everything in?
That's
so having that
idea.
Model was handy, and that made it a bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I left it open for the project that they could code something in Scratch, but I made it a bit more realistic in terms of time and ability. If they weren't able to code their own game to use it with, that was still okay.
Yeah.
They made a project, they plugged it in, and they got to play a pre-made game. That was still okay too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you touched then on just having more time. Sometimes that's enough of an adaptation. It's just to have a bit more time.
Yes. And as
you can, you'll get it.
That's the thing. And this, like, I did it over one lesson a week for a term. And back to the cons, be prepared for some mess because
that's not too bad though.
No, it wasn't really. It was more Lego. When they're making their projects with foil and paper and cardboard and diorite. Like, I love that.
It's
learning.
A happy mess.
It's paint, it's everything, and I love it. But yeah, some people, it's very much out of their comfort zone. And if they walked into my room, they'd be like, ah! Or like when we would have musical instruments everywhere and kids are banging away. Ah, but I love that. That's just me. But be prepared. Yes, it's messy, but what I love to say, but you know what? That means it's working. Kids are engaged. They are loving it.
I've never seen a student not engage with Makey Makey.
No, they love it. So many, where do I buy them from? And I'd have parents going, what is this thing? Like,
I think it's a good present. Oh, it's if so you had a kid good. Who was, because it's not that expensive and
so fun.
Big engagement.
Yeah.
And for those top learners who need that higher ceiling, you just flip that board right over.
100%. Yes, definitely. So going back to our original question about using it. So for a 9-year-old, an activity which was an assessment, interest in video games, football and soccer, absolutely, we would say create it as a scratch project, learning how to create a game. And there are tutorials on there for soccer games, like the goal.
Yes, that's what I thought of too, because one of the pre-done Makey Makey apps is a soccer game.
Yeah, so. And when I did this as an option for years 5 and 6 last year with the school I worked with, I let them pick a creative project like a dance board or piano or something. Or they could create a game, and a lot of the boys particularly wanted to make a game, and a lot of them made soccer or basketball games.
Yep.
And because they've got pre-made backdrops for your game, there's a soccer goal one, and they made a kicking game. So this would be something I think you could cover a lot of things like we've said and set it up like an interest project. Yeah.
Then I'm thinking about the fact that it's an assessment and you don't have to have an assessment on paper at the end of a unit.
No,
you can just assess the final product and assess how they've gone throughout the building of the.
Yes. And if you want to really step into assessing the steps in their design process, get them to document it. There's so many worksheets or anchor charts or like, I don't know.
Just take a photo of it every time you come up with a new design. And here's the 5 different designs that it took me to get to my final product.
Yeah. And if you were doing it, like I suggested, through Google Classroom each week, upload a photo of your stuff.
What did you do this week?
Yeah. So I think hopefully that answered your question, our lovely listener. And we hope that if you haven't heard of Makey Makey, please give it a try because it is awesome.
We'll put all the links that you might need and maybe some of those videos that we talked about that you found useful.
Yes.
We'll put those as links as well to give a little head start because there's plenty of good content online about
how
to use these.
If you search for Makey Makey project ideas, there's a lot on there. Thank you so much for listening. We hope this was helpful on learning all about the Makey Makey. We're diving a bit into STEM today, which was cool.
Yes, we did have quite a few tangents because we went to STEM and Scratch from that original question.
We sure did, but that's what we do. So please, we'd love you to follow us, subscribe to our podcast. Our email is techitupanotchau@gmail.com. So please send in any questions and we'd love to make that a focus for a future episode.
Better if you can send a voice memo.
Yes,
and
then
we'll put you on.
For sure. Well, we hope this encouraged you to
Tech it up a notch. Tech it up a notch.
All right. Well, thank you. And we hope that this helped you take it up a notch.
That sounded a bit like
a... excuse me.
Like a bit suggestive.
Stop it, Claire.
Let's try it again. And I'll join in.